Welcome back. Morning Drive here live from Kitchen Notes, of course, in downtown. It's downtown Nashville. Omni, the biscuits are out, D-Mace. The biscuits are out. I saw some orange cranberry biscuits back there.
Oh, man.
They got some pecan pancakes back there, so we'll get you some food.
Good.
We'll get you some food here in a second. Josh Ward, not to make him jealous, but he does it to me all the time on his show. I'll come on his show, and he'll be like, yeah, we're hanging out here drinking beer and eating chicken wings at so-and-so place. And I'm like, thanks a lot, Josh.
Like
Josh.
Yeah, if we can trade a shipment, maybe we need to start working out some of those deals when you come on the radio. Wherever we will, we'll send you some of our food, and you can do the same. Especially if you got some breakfast spots, I'll hop on that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Kitchen Notes, baby. Downtown Nashville at the Nashville Omni Hotel. Well done. All right, Josh. So in a really awful week of SEC football, the two most important games probably taking place with the two teams in this state, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, but, of course, Tennessee and Missouri. So we've talked about this, you and I have. I felt like Kentucky was a bad matchup for Tennessee from a sort of a weakness and strength standpoint. It turns out Tennessee took advantage of all that stuff. So what is your feel for the matchup strategy here with a great quarterback, a very different matchup for Missouri than Kentucky for Tennessee?
Does it make it a bad segment if I say I don't know? I mean,
no.
That's part of the issue at this point in the season. But I thought you were right. I mean, I agreed. I picked Kentucky to win the game because I thought that the Wildcats would really be able to run well throughout the game, and the reverse happened. Tennessee just about tripled the rushing yards that Kentucky had. I don't think anybody saw something like that happening last week, but it did. A difference in this kind of game would be that when it was 17-0, Marquez Callaway catches that touchdown pass, so it's 17-0 at the half. I don't know who really thought, okay, Kentucky's coming back needing to throw the football probably here in the second half. So if it's 17-0 against Missouri, I'm going to like Tennessee's chances to win the game if they have that kind of lead again at the half. But they could come back with Drew Lock. It's a more balanced team, and a lot of the attention or the perception maybe around Missouri would be with the quarterback play and Drew Lock, and there should be a lot of attention on him. But Missouri really can run the football and has multiple backs that can do that. And that's why Tennessee is still going to have to be prepared to stop the run. But it's more than that. You're going to have to be prepared for Drew Lock and that passing attack. And that's one reason. Another reason that I think that Tennessee was able to, in the second half, kind of just go after Wilson at quarterback was that I don't think Kentucky was really prepared to have to pass protect that much. And Missouri will be. So it's obvious now that we know the result of Tennessee winning 24-7 last week. But I do think this presents a more challenging matchup for Tennessee.
Now, Josh, can you explain the swing that this offensive line has been on? One week versus Charlotte, you know, they can't run worth the lick. Garantano can't take a five-step drop. He's getting hit from every angle. And then a few weeks later, they roll up 215 yards against a defense that's one of the better defenses, at least front in the country, in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a very good question. When you're coming out of the Charlotte game and you've had to replace both your left tackle and your right tackle due to performance, it doesn't create a lot of confidence going into a game against Kentucky with the defensive front that it had. But they did play well. Here's my best guess. One would be focus. I think that it's pretty clear at this point that Tennessee was not mentally dialed in for the Charlotte game. But that doesn't explain all of it. I would say another factor would be Ty Chandler. His presence really, I think, kind of opens up what Tennessee's coaching staff feels comfortable calling within the offense. Chandler and Tim Jordan. Tim Jordan ran well for Tennessee. But the Vols also came out, and it was a lot of play action on first downs to open up the game, take some shots down the field. I think that opened some things up. And it made it a little easier maybe for Tyson Elton, the offensive coordinator for Tennessee, in what he was calling. But at this point, we've talked so much about Ty Chandler. I just think it's obvious. Tennessee's running back is so important for what Tennessee's offense wants to be at its best. It's still limited in some of what it can call. I don't think still Jeremy Pruitt or Tyson Hilton believe they can just say, let's line up and run at teams over and over and over again and do it with success. But Tennessee can find ways to run the football. Missouri's had a pretty good run defense. I think throwing is going to be really important this week. But if they can protect Garantano, and that's when tight ends and running backs come into play as well to help the offensive line, then the last few weeks have shown that this offense, despite still some limitations up front, can be successful.
Let me go a little bit more big picture with you here, Josh. And Alante Taylor's a guy that feels like that they found, right? He's a guy that for the future that they found is going to be a dude that they can count on. There's a lot of players that are going to be leaving off this roster that are veterans. Certainly Garantano's back, some of those young playmakers on offense. Who are the guys on defense that you think this coaching staff has identified as future dependable starters that are not just this season but for next season and maybe the year after, that are guys that they think are they're guys that are going to be starters and be dependable options moving forward?
Well, I think maybe the first real positive would be Lonte Taylor, you mentioned, and then Bryce Thompson, who we're watching to see, by the way, does he play this week? Jeremy Pruitt said that he would be ready to go. The corner who took a pretty scary fall last week had a head injury from that. But those are two freshmen, both similar stories in that they were really kind of recruited as athletes, could play wide receiver, could play in the secondary, and Tennessee had a great need at cornerback, so they both have played there and started games together. That's a positive for Tennessee moving forward, that they've gained this amount of experience and overall have played okay. A big challenge this week against Missouri, of course. So those would be two names that I would say immediately. You at least have another year of Ty Chandler. Next year, with Tennessee having to replace its starting defensive line, Darryl Taylor having another year of eligibility is really important. He needs to be more consistent, but he had four sacks last week. He had three in the Georgia game. He's obviously shown his ability at this point. So as Tennessee continues to try to recruit guys that can come in and rush the passer, Darryl Taylor for at least another year could help with that. And then there's kind of an under-the-radar guy on the defensive line, John Mincy. He's a freshman who suffered an elbow injury in the Florida game, missed several weeks. But I think the staff likes him a lot. It came down to Tennessee and South Carolina, and Will Muschamp liked him a lot. Tennessee was able to get him, and he's probably just going to have to play and maybe start next year. So those are some guys to watch. Most of the offensive side is coming back. I will say that I think on the offensive line, I think you have at least one, maybe two freshmen who will be starting next year. So that's an area where, with what we've talked about here this segment a lot this season, Tennessee is pitching on the recruiting trail, hey, you can play right away, and you can be our guys for the next 3 years would probably be the sales pitch before you go to the NFL.
We'll talk with Josh Schwarr at WNML in Knoxville. Josh, do you believe Pruitt is on schedule, past schedule with this team? Because it seems like, after the Alabama game, after the talk he had with them at halftime, it seems like this team is playing a lot better from a hustle standpoint and effort standpoint. But do you think he's ahead of schedule or right on schedule?
Yeah, I agree with that on the effort standpoint. Everybody in college football seems to be up and down in some ways, the Charlotte game being an example. But each week in practice, I think Tennessee's players have been dialed in and they've connected with this coaching staff, which is a positive sign. I would say that Jeremy Pruitt is probably on schedule and that over the last month or so, he's kind of caught up. Because after that Florida game, it did not feel like things were on schedule when you were suffering a 26-point loss at home to a Florida Gators team that was trying to get things going at the time as well. But since then, Tennessee went to Auburn and won, played well enough to win at South Carolina, came up short, and then beat Kentucky this past weekend. So being at 5-5, if you go back to August, and we're talking about Tennessee's upcoming season, and a lot of the talk was 5-7 or 6-6. There was some 7-5 talk for Tennessee as well, and really optimistic 8-4 talk for Tennessee. But 5-7, 6-6, the win total was 5.5. Tennessee's right there at 5-5. If Tennessee can win the next two games, then I think it's a huge finish for the season and for the program. If you get to a bowl game, I think you've met your number one goal, and Tennessee has a really fair shot of doing that, of splitting the next two games. Not a given. Tennessee could be any of the three, 5-7, 6-6, 7-5 to close out the season, and I don't think too many of us would be surprised. But Tennessee's in that kind of position to be able to finish off its main goal at the beginning of the season. And I think right now, especially considering some of the early season struggles, that's about all you can ask for if you're a Tennessee fan.
So I agree with everything you just said and laid out, Josh. I think a bowl game would be a huge accomplishment for this coaching staff, and I think a really big first positive step. There certainly needs to be plenty more after that. But if it's a win over Missouri and yet another loss to Vanderbilt, and let's say they follow that up with a bowl loss – How does that all does that change anything because it happens to be Vanderbilt gets bragging rights for, what, the fourth time in 6 years or the fifth time in 7 years?
Yeah, it would be 5 out of 7 that Vanderbilt would have beaten Tennessee if Vandy wins next week. That would not sit well in Knoxville. It would be a lot worse if you're 5 and 6 and lose to Vanderbilt. So beating Missouri would help a lot if that's going to happen, for sure. You know, with what you just said there, especially with the bowl loss, I guess I would ask, if that were to happen, how did you do on the early signing day on December 19th?
Yeah.
I think no matter what happens this weekend and next weekend, immediately a lot of the attention is going to turn to, okay, what does Tennessee get done with the early signing period? Because Tennessee's trying to steal some kids from some big-time schools. They have a few guys that are committed to Georgia who are scheduled to visit this weekend. They're going after guys from Auburn, from Michigan, from Texas, Alabama. So how does Tennessee do with the early signing period? That will greatly affect the mood of Tennessee fans. But getting to a bowl game would I think, keep just about everybody happy. Tennessee fans, though, would never accept losing to Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt right now has the bragging rights based on recent history.
Real quickly here, Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville, before we let you go, do you think the early signing period is going to help Pruitt because he's a new coach in a rebuilding system, or do you think it hurts his current situation as a new head coach rebuilding Tennessee's roster?
I think he can benefit. I say that with the assumption that some of these guys who say that they're going to come back, like Owen Papo, a linebacker who's committed to Auburn, I think Tennessee can benefit there. He's a teammate, by the way. I think they've done a good job of connecting those relationships. He's a teammate of lineman Wanya Morris, who's a five-star guy who is coming to Tennessee in January. But that is to be determined. Tennessee is swinging for the fences with a lot of these guys. When you do that, you can swing and miss. But I think Tennessee will have a nice December and will be happy with where it is heading into the second signing day in February.
Josh Ward, always a pleasure, man. Did we ask him for a pick there? You taking the Vols this weekend or no?
Yeah, I've struggled with picks all season long. I've been pretty bad with them, honestly, with Tennessee. So this will make Tennessee
just take Missouri then. Just take Missouri.
I think Missouri comes into Knoxville and gets a win this weekend.
There you go. Josh Ward, WNML. Thanks a lot, dude. We appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Josh Ward, one of the best in the business covering the UT Vols. Huge weekend in the state of Tennessee. Not so much in the SEC. We discussed yesterday the scheduling is pretty awful for the SEC. Objectively, you can't really argue that. But there are two really big games in the SEC, and they both involve teams in the state of Tennessee. And that could really shape the final weekend in a very, very big way. So we'll discuss those outcomes and get D. Mace's thoughts on the Drew Locke-led Missouri Tigers going into Neyland. We'll do that when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.